The Steve Cochran Show.
Runner is going, and that's down into the corner. Fair ball. Fowler flying to third. Fowler coming to the plate. Rizzo, four for his last four. And the Cubs lead 1-0. High fly ball in the center. The shortstop, Russell. A big one. Two-run shot. 3-1, Chicago in the sixth. Hard hit deep into right. Back at the wall. That's up against. Three runs are going to score. Baez is going to hold at second. And the Cubs have blown it open.
Well, it all comes down to this. Bring it home and get to the World Series. Now, don't anyone mention...
No, don't even say it.
It's like saying the word shank when you golf. Don't anyone mention... Because it's going to be fine. I now think they may just close the door on the sucker tomorrow night. We're talking about the Cubs against Clayton Kershaw at Wrigley.
I feel good about it. I think they will get it done tomorrow night.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was what we couldn't mention.
No, we can mention that.
No, you can't mention 2003.
Oh, no.
I can't believe I did that. Oh, no.
It's like mentioning a no-hitter when it's underway.
Go to your room.
He's in his room.
Oh.
That is true.
Go to the corner.
Can't hear me if I'm over there. Maybe that's the goal. Cubs with their second straight dominant win. And they leave L.A. now in the driver's seat in all the cliched manner that term applies. But they come home to Wrigley tomorrow night with a madhouse of crazy Cub fans ready to explode and then do what we all expected would happen back in April, play Cleveland in the World Series.
Right. It's okay. No, beggars cannot be choosers.
No, Cleveland's good.
Cleveland's a good team, and... It's going to be a good if they get there.
When
it's
they
a good
get
series.
There.
Well, no, I don't want to be overconfident. I do think the Dodgers had to look at last night the way the Cubs look at going against Kershaw. I mean, you're going against the best. John Lester has been absolutely terrific all year, especially the second half and especially in the postseason. He's got a 0.86 ERA in the playoffs.
That's a number that I haven't seen since I kept my own stats when I played wiffle ball. So that's pretty impressive.
It is very impressive.
So who pitches to run it?
Tomorrow night, Kyle Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
And he will go against Kershaw. So
it's going to be an exciting weekend. Of course, we got not one, not two, but three Hawks games in the next several days.
Yep, they're at Columbus tonight, then home against Toronto tomorrow night for a 6 o'clock start.
Right.
Then home again on Monday.
So every second of the Hawks and their drive for another cup here. What's Northwestern doing tomorrow?
Northwestern is home tomorrow. The Wildcats will be hosting the Indiana Hoosiers.
There's your sports and other sporting events. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump dressed up and had some laughs last night. It wasn't all laughs, but there were some laughs. We'll play you some of that coming up. In addition, later on in the program this morning, I want to play back the Tim Allen drive-by yesterday. Tim Allen came by yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll play it back for you this morning after 7. Hamp will be here as well. Hamp, boy, oh boy. Hamp Cousins and OB last night after another terrific Bears display. By the way, if you ever played quarterback, the Bears could be interested in hiring you. The Bears are now down to the third-string quarterback. A guy, when he came out of college, was fairly well thought of. But he's been in the bigs for a while now, and he is literally the third-string guy in every sense of the word, and looked like it last night against the Packers. There's no way to shine this one up, kids.
No.
It's 1-6.
I had to laugh when they said, oh, if something happens to him, Zach Miller will be coming in as quarterback.
Yeah, they didn't have another quarterback dressed.
High school or college?
Well, I think Matt Barkley I think there were a lot of Bears fans who were probably surprised that he was even on the roster.
I didn't even know who he was, I hate to say.
No, he was a very good quarterback in college, but he
just hasn't done it as a pro.
He was a first-round pick or a fourth-round pick, I believe. But he just has not had it happen for him in the NFL.
Mark Carman later and Kevin Powell later. We believe we're going to connect with Kevin live from L.A. before he leaves town. I understand he ducked out on his hotel bill early this morning in Los Angeles.
That's... That's what I told him to do.
Got a Hawkopedia. Got a lot going on. As always, 617. Thank you for listening.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show.
Lou Manfredini joins us now. The Cubs getting off the buses, Lou, at Wrigley.
I'm unloading their stuff right now from underneath it.
This is the dumbest live TV coverage I have ever seen. They look like hostages getting off a bus. David, I just mentioned this. This is leave me alone. I'm going to bedtime.
Yeah, poor guys are so tired. Let them rest. We need them for Saturday. Let those boys rest.
So ridiculous.
Especially the old guy.
You know what we need you to do? We need you to go out to Wrigley and build a barricade to keep the media out. So stupid.
I was just speaking with one of the guys when I got here this morning. One of the cameramen, Sean, I go, what are you doing here? He goes, oh, this Cubs overtime. I'm taking it up because once this is over, it's over.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame the tech guys. Soak
right.
it up.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's not just Channel 9. Channel 2 is out there. I'm sure they're all out there.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers. First caller always wins. Chance to ask Lou a question before you have to get in line tomorrow with all the other people wondering what's going on at my house. Mm. It's raining outside right now. It's fall. Give me your top three things we got to do right now.
Well, before winter comes, it's about taking care of any last-minute exterior repairs. I think that if there's any exterior painting that has to happen in the next couple of months, before winter really gets here, if you can't get to it wholeheartedly, then you probably want to scrape away any bare wood that may be exposed and at least get a primer over the top of it. Today on the WGN morning show, I'm going to be talking about refinishing your deck. The fall is actually one of the best times to do it because the temperatures obviously are cooler. It's a little bit drier. And so the stain, when you apply it, a semi-transparent deck stain, is something that will take a little bit more time to cure, meaning that it grabs onto the fibers of the wood better, and the job will last longer. And so you really have about 2 to 3 weeks right now that would be the optimal time to refinish a deck.
All right, 2 to 3 weeks in total. Fix any exterior issues on your home. Mm-hmm. These are smaller jobs, obviously.
Yeah. Well, the deck is a bigger job. It's a weekend job.
Yeah, but you know, even if you hire somebody for that, there's probably some folks available, right?
Absolutely.
I just had a driveway and a roof done, so I'm available. You know, I can pick up a few bucks.
So you got to make a couple extra bucks
wherever you can.
Right, absolutely.
And Kelly standing by in Aurora. Kelly is Lou's first call. And congratulations, Kelly. You're a big winner. Tell you about that in a second, but say hi to Lou.
Good morning, Lou.
Morning.
What's your question?
I had a question about my kitchen floor. I have a ceramic kitchen floor. It's like 12-inch by 12-inch tiles.
Okay.
And several of them are cracked. When I say several, I mean maybe up to 10. And so my question is, do I try and dig out these 10 tiles and replace them, or do I just put down a different floor?
Do you have 10 extra tiles?
I might have 10 extra tiles in the basement. This is the floor that came with the house, and okay. I think they have some leftover tile.
Well, I mean, if the rest of the floor is sound, then there's a tool that you can buy called a multi-tool, which is essentially the home version of what they used to use to cut casts off your arm. And it has a little blade on it, like a duck's bill. And you can go ahead and grind out all the grout around each individual tile, then get underneath those tiles with a stiff scraping tool and a hammer, break out all those tiles. Then take those tiles that you have, put them back in there, you know, mortar them down or use adhesive, let that dry, and re-grout. I mean, it's the least expensive way to do it, and quite frankly, you could reset those tiles probably in less than an afternoon, then come back the next day and grout it. And, you know, your investment is a little bit of thin set mortar and new grout. You'll probably do the whole thing for, under $25.
Well, that sounds like a good idea. I just have one question about that, and that is, how do I match the grout? Because the grout that's in the floor has been there forever.
Well, you're probably going to end up, in order to really make it look like it's all new, you're probably going to take that same multi-tool and remove all the grout and regrout the entire floor. So maybe it's more than an afternoon and more than $25.
Okay.
But it's not $50, and you know, and you can do it, and you know, you'll be amazed at the results. And that's, you know, other than, unless you really want a new floor, I mean, you can do that. But if it's 10 tiles and you have them in the basement, I'd go with that.
All right, Lou, thank you.
Don't go away, Kelly, because we have prizes for you, and those prizes are an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone, brought to you by American Weather Makers, home of the 60-Minute Man. Call 855-955-HVAC. What's the coolest thing you have in your store right now? The coolest thing, the thing that I ought to go buy today.
I got to tell you, we just got in these new grill. Well, we have two things. This new grill called a Fire Disc. And so anybody that is a tailgater or loves to cook just about anything, it's essentially, Steve, it's like a giant wok, but it's not that deep. But imagine a giant pan that's maybe 3 inches with a curbing around it.
Okay.
It has a stand that you put together. Literally two pieces, click, click, and it's like a T. The top moves a little bit, and you connect a propane tank to it. And this gets super hot. You can cook wings. You can make chili. You can do just about anything outside. It's about $300. You can fold it up and throw it in the back of your car and take it just about anywhere. And I really think it's awesome. It's a unique way to do outdoor grilling.
Well, it's a cool idea. Who's making it?
It's a company called Fire Disc, and it's D-I-S-C.
Fire Disc.
Yeah, Fire Disc.
Hey, you know the Duluth Trading Company?
Mm-hmm.
I just was driving on Butterfield Road out in, I don't know, Downers?
They opened up a couple stores.
Yeah. They got a retail store now?
Yeah, they've never had retail stores. They're based out of near Dodgeville, Wisconsin. They've always been a catalog company forever and ever, and now they're delving into retail. I think they opened up one near the Sears Center out in the Hoffman Estates as well.
I'm going to have to stop by there because...
You need some pants made out of fire hose material.
Well, their commercials are funny, and, you know, they got a lot of funny products.
They do. They do.
I mean, you know, get it done. Yeah. Duluth Trading Company. I'd like to go to Texters, but I've been locked out of my own computer.
Oh, congratulations.
Jake, are you on the Texter screen? Maybe you could read us a couple of texts. You know how we like when Mike Jacobson reads to us.
Oh, yeah.
And you can do them in your own voice. You don't have to do them in Mary's subconscious. Though Lou does enjoy it.
But it's more fun in Mary's voice because, well, these texters, it just never stops. But actually, hold on. Actually, as I pull him up, I think Dave had a question.
Lou, my buckthorn is exploding.
God, Dave, let it go. It's been months.
I know. I bet I still haven't really gotten an answer from Lou.
Actually, I think you've gotten many.
I have. Yes, outrageous.
All right, one from the 262. The main pipe in my basement from the kitchen sink is releasing a strong odor. I think the pipe is busted. Not sure. There is a slight leak. What do I do?
Well,
sell the house?
No, I mean, if there is a slight leak, then obviously that could be where that odor's coming from. Sink pipes, because they can collect so much debris from the sink, can build up with gunk, and that's where the odor can come from. I think you have to get the pipe fixed, which means you more than likely have to get a good plumber to come out there.
All right. You got one more, Jake?
Actually, that's it. To be completely honest with you.
We get hundreds of texts.
I'm serious. I don't know
why. When I go off the air, everybody's going to text.
Wow.
That's usually what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to tell you. That's not
well, I'll be on tomorrow at 7.
Whew, I don't know if this is a career twist for you now.
I got a whiny question.
Yeah, you have a question?
Yeah, whiny one. Yeah. How often does the furnace guy really have to come over? Every year?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea because, in particular, if you're someone that uses your air conditioning religiously during the the cooling season, that system gets dirty, and that debris that builds up during the summertime can cause a problem when winter comes. And that $100 service call, which typically, you know, it's around that price.
And I do like my guy, by the way.
Right.
Well,
it's not a social call, Mary. It's a guy coming over to check your furnace.
Somebody still comes in your house.
I come over
to
have tea.
Nice. You don't want him to smell. You know, it's
it is money well spent because for so many people that don't do it, all of a sudden the system goes down. on a cold February night, and all of a sudden you're spending $400 or $500 on parts that have to get replaced. That, you know, there's things like a modern furnaces have something called a flame sensor that gets very corroded over time. And literally when they come, they can clean that, which is not something the average person could access and or do. And that's one of the biggest issues when a furnace doesn't work in the winter.
Okay, I'll call him.
Our old friend Pat Hughes has now been accosted by the live TV coverage at Wrigley Field.
He wants to go home.
Oh, right. Man, does he want to go home.
Yeah.
But he's being very pleasant. Good for you, Pat. Yeah. One more, Jake.
All right, I have a townhome that's 13 years old, and my recent garage floor is beginning to crack extensively. Is it a reason for concern because it's only, it's no basement, it's just on a slab?
It could be a very localized earthquake.
No.
Oh,
it
okay.
could just be a lot of times in condos and townhouse developments, they get down and dirty when they put down the concrete, and it's not as thick and as reinforced as it should be. As long as the cracks aren't worrisome that you're going to trip or they're wide, then just monitor it. If not, you may want to consider having it jacked up. Our friends at PermaSeal do a program called the Poly-Level System where they can come in and shore it all up, which is a lot less expensive than pouring new concrete on the whole place.
You're very dismissive of my answer. How do you know it's not a localized earthquake?
I guess I don't. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't.
You going to go do TV now?
I will.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Love you back. See ya. It's Lou Manfredini. And go to his Ace Hardware stores, Dave. He's got a whole bunch of them.
I know that.
Yeah. 6:34. We'll get the big story next, 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Kevin Powell, live in Los Angeles, stumbling out of his hotel at dawn. Well, dawn's actually a couple hours away. It is 4:45 in the morning in L.A. And, Kevin, have you slept at all?
I have not slept. I was up all night watching replays of Tim the Toolman Taylor at the Showcase Studio. I wish I was back in town when he was there because... He's my favorite, Steve. He's my favorite. I don't know if I ever passed it along to you.
You never told me that. I would have gotten you an autograph or possibly called you.
Yes. I watched the video multiple times like a creep. Awesome interview.
Thanks. And, I think when we replay this next hour, I think the thing that people ought to lock into, because I think it made the cut, is that he is he doesn't wear shorts. He never, ever, ever, ever wears shorts, and he thinks men should stop wearing shorts at the age of 40.
Well, I don't. Did I miss this? Is he a golfer or no? He can't be a golfer, right?
No.
If you're a golfer, you wear golf shorts.
He hangs around with Jay. Yeah, he hangs around with Jay Leno in garages, and they tinker with cars. but no, he doesn't wear shorts. Anyway, well, Tim Allen interview coming up. Thanks for that, Kev. Congratulations on the win last night. They couldn't have done it without you.
I take all the credit, as usual. Any Cubs win, I take full credit. No question.
Yeah, that's new. after two dominant wins and clearly a better roster, other than Clayton Kershaw, what are the Dodgers hoping for tomorrow night? They got a rabbit's foot? They got lucky Tommy Lasorda in their pocket? What are they doing?
Yeah, well, Anthony Rizzo talked about it, and you've heard it a million times in baseball, is that it's always to the hitter's advantage when you see a certain matchup multiple times. This is the second time in a week they're going to face Clayton Kershaw. That works to the Cubs' advantage, and the bats are hot. I mean, 18 runs now in the last two games? So, to me, this last game, though, it felt like the entire season in one game. It was get ahead early. They got the run early, the first run. By the way, whoever scores first in this series has won. So the Cubs did that. They played great defense. They were aggressive on the base path. That's what the Cubs did all year. And then they rely on their starter, John Lester.
He's been up all night.
I've been up all night. John Lester, they lean on him. He was dominant again. Now just two runs in 21 innings from him. So it felt like the entire season in one game. It was everything they did right all season was encompassed in this game. So, For me, it looked like the Cubs of the 2016 Cubs. They looked great. They looked comfortable. They weren't panicking or anything.
They looked invincible.
They really did. The past couple of games. I mean, I know everybody was panicking after the two shutouts, but this is the 2016 Cubs. This is what they do. There's no panic with them. And I was in a clubhouse after one of those losses, and I really didn't feel any sort of panic, any sort of hurry, anything like that. They felt comfortable. They felt fine. They knew if they stuck to their game plan, they were going to be just fine.
Every 108 years, Dave Ennett, this team comes along and will do this.
Yes. Well, you know, the manager sets the tone, because when Joe Maddon spoke after the two losses, you didn't sense any panic in what he had to say. And I think that the players get that. I mean, I think that...
Well, not publicly. I mean, privately, I held him while he gently weeped and rocked back and
did
forth.
Did you really, Steve?
And I patted him on his little gray crew cut and said, come on, man. Suck it up. Come on, man. And
whatever you did worked.
Yeah, but, so. But between this, me and Kevin, there's your win.
There you go. But this is an ideal situation. This team is 3-1 in the postseason at home. Now, granted, they did get shut out on Sunday night, but they won 57 games at home during the season. They have there's no question they're going to hit at Wrigley Field, and they've already broken out of whatever you want to call it, a mini slump or whatever, with those two games. And I just think that this is setting up just the way you would want it for them. I mean, this is why you go out and win 103 games, so you have home field in this scenario, and now you take advantage of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, for me, I'm sure some Cub fans are going to feel a little bit differently, but to me, I'm watching this team play, and they played so well the past couple games. It just kind of feels right. Like, it doesn't feel like this is just pride. I think last year when we saw them win and had some success in the postseason, everyone was like a little bit surprised. It felt like bonus baseball. Now it just sort of seems right. Like, this is where they're supposed to be. This was the game plan from spring training. So to me, this just sort of seems normal. This just seems, you watch them, it's like, this is a good baseball team. Forget about the past Cubs teams and all that. This is a good baseball team. They don't have a lot of weaknesses. You know, and if there is a weakness, to me, Aroldis Chapman didn't look great again. And he threw a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, which for most pitchers is just fine. That's the slowest fastball he's thrown all season. So to me, if there's any sort of worry or anything like that, it's maybe the bullpen for this team. The starting pitchers are just fine, but to me, it's the eighth inning and on. You know, John Lester gives you great seven innings of work, but Rose Chapman looked off. I guess if there's any sort of worry or weakness that you're looking for with this team, that's what it is to me. But
well, let's be honest. Cub fans are looking for something to worry about, because Cub fans want to be stressed. That's the most comfortable feeling. That's the feeling that all Cub fans are most used to.
Right.
So I appreciate you throwing it out there that Aroldis Chapman has severe arm problems and probably won't be available all weekend. But
say that.
You just turned your radio on. And Kev, by the way, you're missing breaking news. All three local, local television affiliates, all network affiliates, except for Fox, it can't really afford lunch. We're live at Wrigley Field as the Cubs arrived back on their buses.
They're already back?
Yeah, the Cubs are back on their buses. You're about to get on a bus at your hotel. They're already back at Wrigley.
Okay, but they didn't bus home. They bused back from O'Hare to Wrigley.
Oh,
let's just clarify that.
Oh, that's probably a good point.
I need to get on that flight. I'm actually standing outside of LAX right now waiting to walk through security.
What time's your flight?
6:05. What time is it now?
It's 6:10. No, it's 6:50 here, which means it's 4:50 here, which means you got time, but you probably should get through security.
Yeah.
All right, Kev, we'll get back safe. Nice job by you, and obviously you'll be live at Wrigley all weekend.
All right, guys. Love you. I'll see you soon.
See you, buddy. Thanks. Love you, Bex. All right, 6:55. Last night, the Al Smith dinner was in New York. This happens every year, but every election year for president, it's a big deal. It's a white tie dinner. Oh, it's so foo-foo, shishy. And Trump shows up, Hillary shows up. They're all just... By the way, if you're watching the coverage of this at any point today, over Hillary Clinton's right shoulder, you see a lot of cleavage. That's Maria Bartiromo. the money honey from Fox Business now. She didn't dress like that on the set. Good Lord, man. And Hillary Clinton was very funny. Trump was very funny, and then he wasn't. It started off, though, really pretty well for Big Don. Even this one, this is kind of a warm-up. Roll it.
You know, they say when you do this kind of an event, you always start out with a self-deprecating joke. Some people think this would be tough for me, but the truth is... The truth is I'm actually a modest person, very modest.
It's true.
In fact, many people tell me that modesty is perhaps my best quality. Even better than my temperament.
That's what the people in China are saying. This may be the best thing he's ever said. This is a great line. I don't know who wrote it for him. Doesn't matter. He even delivers it fairly well. Listen.
Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic. They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case. And I don't get it. I don't know why. And it wasn't her fault. Stand up, Melania. Come on. She took a lot of abuse. Oh, I'm in trouble when I go home tonight. She didn't know about that one.
It's a great joke. It's a great joke. You'd spend a little too time on the postscript, but it's a great joke. And then it started to go a little south, started to slide, because that could have been his mic drop moment. First this.
You know, last night, I called Hillary a nasty woman. But this stuff is all relative. After listening to Hillary rattle on and on and on, I don't think so badly of Rosie O'Donnell anymore. In fact, I'm actually starting to like Rosie a lot.
Seems like maybe you'd get the message. That might be the time to say thanks.
Yeah, not that funny.
One more.
I wasn't really sure if Hillary was going to be here tonight. Because I guess you didn't send her invitation by email. Or maybe you did. And she just found out about it through the wonder of WikiLeaks. We've learned so much from WikiLeaks. For example, Hillary believes that it's vital to deceive the people by having one public policy and a totally different policy in private. That's okay. I don't know who they're angry at, Hillary. You're right.
Yeah, it's you, Don. It's you. He got booed, he got heckled, and, you know, he struggled through reading his lines, but I give Trump credit because he got off a couple of decent jokes. Hillary was pretty funny, and we'll get to that coming up as well. Meanwhile, at 7 o'clock, we'll come back with your news next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thanks. Have a great rest of the day. Go Cats.
Well... I believe Northwestern just scored again against Michigan State. I haven't heard Dave Ennett that happy, well, in a very long time. Loved your call last weekend.
Thank you.
Let's get Coach Fitz in here.
Sponsored by the Fields Auto Group.
Give him a warm hug and a pat on the back. That must have been fun.
Yeah, you know, anytime you win, it's fun.
But how about that second half point barrage?
Yeah, you know, I think we're starting to play pretty consistently, and... on offense, and it's fun to watch. You know, I got asked, we had a great event for Autogram Society last night, and I had one of our great donors ask me, well, how about all these new plays that you guys are running offensively? And I said, that would be none.
No, we're just running plays that work.
Yeah, just call, you know, early in the year, we wanted to specifically call the ones that didn't work. So, no, it's you know, I'm really proud of the guys. We're learning how to be consistent. We're learning how to, you know, what it takes to do that. And that's the focus, and it's the execution. It's the mindset to battle and scratch and claw every play. And I think we're close. We haven't put together 60 minutes of a complete game yet, though. So maybe we'll get to 42 minutes this week. I think we were at about 38 last week.
I like how you're clocking it. You know, I haven't paid a lot of attention to Indiana, the opponent tomorrow for homecoming weekend. And Dave quickly corrected me off the air because I'm used to saying Indiana, well, aren't they cute? They're a much better team this year, huh, Coach?
Oh, well, Kevin Wilson and I, and you know, Dave knows Kevin well. Oh, yeah. We've been friends for a long time. He's done a fabulous job at Indiana. You know, he's first of all, he's an O-line man, you know, O-lineman by playing. He's got an O-lineman mentality. The Hoosiers are tough. They're physical. He's recruited some great skill on the perimeter. And they're really explosive offense. They're going to play up-tempo, probably the fastest team we've seen get to the line of scrimmage all year. And then defensively is probably where they're most improved. Coach Allen has come over. They've got a very sound system that they're running, going to bring at least probably one linebacker about 70% of the game, play a lot of man-free coverage, and really try to put pressure on you to execute. So, you know, then you put, couple that with the way their kicking game played. I really think the last month they got after Nebraska in the kicking game. They blocked a punt, had a long return, and led to a touchdown. So, you know, from a record standpoint, you know, they're 3-3, but very easily could be 5-1. And this is going to be a heck of a battle and a heck of a challenge tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. This is kind of unusual. Northwestern has the leading rusher in the Big Ten, the leading receiver in the Big Ten, the sack leader in the Big Ten, the leader in passing efficiency in conference play. But to have the leading rusher and the leading receiver, Pat, I'm not sure I've seen that very often for any team, and it's got to be an indication that you have some balance there, right?
Well, at least the last 2 weeks, yeah, Dave. You know, we've got some things going in the run game. You know, the guys up front have, you know, again, they've been relatively consistent. We haven't been perfect, but we've been relatively consistent. And then outside of really maybe you could argue one throw on Saturday, the last 2 weeks, Clayton's done a terrific job taking care of the football. And this kid named Austin Carr has gotten open. Just don't tell anybody about him because, you know, people have decided not to cover him, and it's been a great deal.
Can you lend him to the Bears, possibly? I'm just curious.
Give me 7 or 8 games, then yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Absolutely. They could take him as high as they'd love to draft him.
Right. Right. Now, the kid's been amazing.
Yeah, well, he's, you know, if you're a – I know we got a lot of young football players listening to us this morning. You know, if you're that young person, you know, Austin's your role model. You know, he walked onto our program. He's a self-made man. He's worked so hard in the weight room. He's worked so hard mastering the technique and fundamentals of being a great wide receiver. He's incredibly unselfish and humble and willing to do anything as a teammate. And, you know, he's worked so hard to get to this point. It's not a surprise to anybody in our program, but you know, he's put himself from being a walk-on in position to being, you know, you could say the receiver of the year in the Big Ten, you know, all Big Ten, and then potentially a young man who's going to get drafted when nobody probably even thought about that before the season. So very proud of him.
And very talented musically, as a matter of fact. So
much more than I am, I promise you that.
Well, that's a music story.
Well, he's got some background. He can play the piano. He can sing a little bit, right, Coach?
Oh yeah, keep going. He's got theater in his background. Yeah. I would vote. Well, let's not get political, but he gets my vote for president right now. So,
listen, I'll take him. I'm looking for anybody. He's in. I don't even know what his qualifications are.
You and me both. So I'm not going there. I don't get involved in politics. But Austin Carr gets my vote.
There you go.
It's a special weekend. It's homecoming, but you're also reuniting with your teammates from the 1996 Big Ten championship team on the 20th. Reunion.
Yeah, unbelievable, Dave. That explains a lot of the gray hair that I have. But yeah, it's going to be just a spectacular weekend. Always fun to have homecoming weekend and get, you know, for some of our alums, maybe their only time to get back to Evanston and here in Chicagoland and on campus. And, you know, it's special from that side. And then it's going to be really special for me personally. Justin Chabot, our great friend, Dave, is going to be our honorary captain tonight. And, you know, then with us throughout the whole weekend, and then you know, I think it's 60 or 65 of my teammates will be back and be honored to the 20th anniversary of our back-to-back championship team in 96, the one that went to the Citrus Bowl. So really special. The entire group of men are doing just absolutely terrific, great fathers, and incredibly successful, and just honored to be their teammate.
Hoosier State of Mind has Northwestern winning 31-26. Is that okay by you?
I just want to win by one, so yeah, I'll take a 5-point win, absolutely. And, you know, get home, and then turn on those Cubbies and watch them win and get to the World Series. It could be a pretty cool night.
How about that? So, it'll be a pretty good Saturday.
Cats at 11 at Ryan Field, and the Cubbies at Wrigley at night.
Let's throw a Hawks win in as well.
Hawks at 6.
Yeah, we'll throw the Hawks win in as well.
The Hawks are on it Saturday, too?
Yeah,
at home.
Yeah, why not a threefer?
We could get the hat trick, and it could be one heck of a party on Saturday here in Chicago. So
no doubt. All right, Coach, get a win.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
There you go.
Coach Fitz, sponsored by the Fields Auto Group.
Hey, I forgot to mention this earlier when Kevin was on. Your Cubs baseball playoff coverage, sponsored by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking.
Here come the Hawks, the Lightning, Hawks.
Oh, and Sloan, water connects us. Now back to the Hawks, already in progress. I have tickets to give away. A pair of tickets for you, for me, because that's how I roll, to see the Blackhawks and the Calgary Flames on Monday night. You're going to be entered to win 4 season tickets for next year. You will enjoy the game on Monday. That's all courtesy of the great people at Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing, for all the right reasons. Four Seasons online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. All right? And roll will have some tickets this afternoon as well. Seventh caller wins. That's it. It's that easy. 312-981-7200. Seventh caller, you go Monday night, and you're qualified for the season tickets for next year. All right? Anybody can play. Anybody can win. 726, Tim Allen was in here yesterday because Last Man Standing is now in prime time on WGN-TV, but I hadn't seen Tim in a long time, and we immediately got into an argument, a heated argument off the air, because he thinks grown men shouldn't wear shorts.
I can't use my vernacular I use in Vegas because I use more expletives. But yeah, I said there's a certain age that men, you just got to cut the shorts.
And you stopped wearing shorts at what age?
About 11.
Only 11?
Well, 11,
12?
12. Summer, when I used to play a lot and trip every now and then, and you'd skin your knee. But you go get those Sears with the pants that had double knees in them. I can't remember the name. They were horrible pants.
Right. Tell them why you're defending this, though.
I'm defending this because I wear shorts 8 months of the year.
That's not my problem. My problem is...
You haven't seen my calves. You'd wear shorts, too.
That's all. What do you need to see a man's hairy calf for? What was that about?
It's not hairy. It's muscular and beautiful.
Well, whatever.
I wore Mr. Calf 3 years running.
Mr. Calf. That's weird. I did
it
too.
Is, yeah.
I got
this
Mr.
Life.
I got Mr. Glute.
I just feel bad because I bet you've got great legs.
You know, I'm.
When was the last time you've seen your own legs?
Kind of uncomfortable right now.
Do you want me to go look?
I was kind of uncomfortable. No, literally, I got in the shower today and I said, "Nah, they're not bad." My wife says it, but I just don't think men should wear shorts.
I love this.
Maybe you should have shorts. Maybe that's good. Backpack shorts, ball caps backwards, all that.
Well,
stuff.
I agree with you on the
grow
backpack.
Up.
I agree with you.
And no more gummies. I don't need prostate medicine in a cherry gummy. Everything's a gummy because adults, because we can't chew or swallow a pill.
Take a friggin' pill.
Swallow it, little liquid, you're done. You don't sit there. Oh, look at that. It's raspberry.
Oh, it went down the wrong way. Phil, you're 45. Suck it up.
What's the wrong way?
Yeah.
What's the wrong? I know the wrong way. I've had that exam. I know that's the wrong way. But
listen, I don't want to get too deep into this, and I mean this literally, but we all grew up, Dave, you as well.
Yeah.
There was a word that our mothers might use, and it goes like this. You were going to have to use a suppository. Now, I don't want to talk about this, but I'm
telling
you.
You just did. How did this come out?
This is all a rehearsal. you don't want any of that in your life. Any of it.
No, I don't.
I mentioned Last Man Standing's on Channel
9.
Yeah,
I know. It's good.
What happened to the other call letter? That's what I want to know. I grew up in Detroit. We had WJR. You had WGN. What is one?
World's greatest newspaper.
That's literally what it stands for.
Really?
For the tribute. Yeah.
What does WJR mean from Detroit? That was their big radio station. Yeah. But that early, you guys are like...
It's the, still there.
The, I know, the Pioneers in Boston.
Yeah, one of the originals.
Boston is KZO. What's the one in Boston?
WBZ.
WBZ.
Yeah, but that, you guys are the last of the real radio stations.
That's exactly right. The rest of this business is trash. You are in the Mecca, baby.
I'm right here. I feel it.
Sitting on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
It's cold in the middle of summer. I like it.
You are such a puss about this.
Don't say that word.
Wimp.
Don't say say wimp, because you can't say grabbing that word now anymore. Those
no, but
two
here's
words...
the thing. You and I were talking off the air about this as well. Once you were wrong about the shorts, we were also talking about the cold. You're a tough dude from Michigan.
Well, I said I came here. I performed a lot in Chicago, and I walked out of the water tower one morning in the middle of February, and I turned the corner, and I thought my lungs froze.
So
this is an illegal place. You walk in that wind, and I went, God, this. And I thought Detroit was tough, and I went to Central Michigan University and Western Michigan, but Mount Pleasant was in this open field, and it would be just like that. But you guys are a hearty brew here in Chicago.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wear your shorts in the winter, which is
nice. Except for the football team.
What? Football team? What's wrong?
Bears not good. Not good.
Listen,
not
you're talking to a Lions fan? You're talking about not good?
As a matter of fact, the only win we have is against the Lions.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good one to hear.
Next thing you know, I'll put my shorts on. What are you going to do now?
This minute? I'm going to have a little sip of coffee?
No, I mean, after the show. I thought you and I could hang out, go short shopping.
Well, yeah, we got. I want to get some cargo shorts and Birkenstocks and maybe a tank top. Men in tank tops. That went away, didn't it? Gay people stole that from straight people. You can no longer wear a tank top.
Well, because gay people work harder to stay in shape so they can look good in the tank top.
And they know how to put on self-tanner. That's just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Straight guys have lost the ability to wear a tank top.
Let me ask you a question.
Here
the,
it comes.
The Michigan spots that you do, the commercials.
Yes, sir.
I believe with all my heart that you love every single inch of Michigan when I hear you do that. Those are some of the greatest reads ever.
Coming from the radio world, and I worked with some of the Paul Fries, Mike Carroll, who taught me in back in Detroit how to do radio commercials. I was astounded how good these voiceover talents were. And when the guy, they approached me when I was doing Wild Hogs, the first one.
Okay.
Young guy from McCann Erickson, and I've never had a guy direct me. He goes, you know, you're starting to sound like a DJ. And I go, and I was going, I want to come through that mic and strangle
right,
you. Because that's
right,
what I always wanted to be a DJ.
Yeah.
And he said, settle it down. Pull it back. Less. Less. And this guy directed me so that I started loving doing those commercials. Plus, I have a just up the coast here, and I have a place in Leland, Michigan.
Right.
I've traveled all around Michigan, actually from Colorado originally, moved to Michigan, and I loved all the water, loved being near cars and all that stuff.
So we could believe that you're giving it to us straight.
Well, they write that is if you know good copy in radio, good copy's everything.
Yeah,
and
of course.
This copy is some of the best copy, and plus the guy's this young director still is pushing me to make it real. And I love there are parts of Michigan just like parts of Illinois that you're going. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm reading this going the lovely bean fields of Saginaw.
Right.
I'm going, oh boy.
And yeah, that's right. I'd like to hear him do like a straight read on 8 Mile.
Right. Well, but they've got Detroit in there.
Yeah.
They got Flint.
Yeah.
They've had, and I'm going. Can we stop for a minute? Has anybody been to Flint?
Right.
You know, Bay City Flint.
It's tough.
It's tough. But there is a beautifully well written, and arguably some of the parts of that state are undiscovered if you haven't. But people in Chicago have gone up.
It's beautiful. In Leland, you got a bunch of stars in Leland now.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful.
Who else is up there? Let's out the entire neighborhood. Who else is up there with you?
Donald Trump, Hillary. They both have.
They got a place together.
They got a place together.
Oh, that's sweet.
Most
that's
people good. Don't know that they have a thing.
Yeah.
They have it. Yeah.
There is your October surprise.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew?
Yeah.
That, you know, they both like it.
Yeah. We started yelling, get a room.
Right.
Yeah.
They high-five each other right after the debate. A lot of hugging.
Playing us like a fiddle.
Oh, I'm not kidding. They were leg wrestling. I caught that. It was. You don't see a lot of that.
You don't see a lot of that.
She's very, very strong.
Tim Allen, the full interview, as always, at WGNRadio.com, and where all our podcasts are posted, here, there, and everywhere. Get them, consume them, share them with your friends. And congratulations to Amy Ahrens. Amy Ahrens gets the Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Cooling, and Situations tickets for Monday night. Qualifies for the season tickets as well. Rokan with another shot this afternoon. You're a big loser. You didn't win. I got another chance for you to connect to the Hawks before 8 o'clock coming up on 720 WGN. We're back with a big story after this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
What are we trying to accomplish? What are we doing? Are we running the ball? Are we throwing the ball? They don't do either.
Defensively, what the hell are we doing?
I think tonight was officially the start of the John Fox retirement. And we need to make sure that all the teams that we go and visit, like when we go to Detroit, they bring golf clubs or a shotgun or some parting gift.
What they ought to do is throw the rest of this season and get the number one pick in the draft. And they don't even have to throw it with bumbling fool John Fox as their head coach.
All right, wait a minute. Let's get back to misery.
Yeah, okay.
You know, why be happy and love the Cubs? No, let's just get back to total misery and here. You know.
Any chance Brian Hoyer broke his arm on purpose so he didn't have to be a part of this?
If I fall just right.
Oh, he doesn't want to break his arm.
Steve?
Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer. I tell you, Hamp, I'd love Kaz, but I disagree. I want to see some wins. I don't know how you get them out of this bunch, but I don't give a rat's butt about the first-round draft pick.
Well, you know, the ones that, even though Leonard Floyd actually showed up and made a couple of plays last night.
Leonard Floyd was the key to the offense.
Yeah. Well, you know, I Kaz always said Hoyer didn't have an arm. Well, he must because he broke it. So I'm just saying, you know, it was almost pathetic last night. You know, the Packers, they have been decimated by injuries, especially at the running back and cornerback position. But they still got some really good players, and they played good. And you got to give Mike McCarthy a lot of credit. He's smart. He knows how to attack most people. He knew he could wear down the Bears' defense, and he did. And our offense just, you know, after Hoyer left the game, there wasn't much to really, you know, get excited about. But life goes on, and as we said in the post game, I mean, what are we trying to do? The quarterback breaks his arm, and we don't even really try to establish the run. So there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, and they have to go back to coaching. And I know you guys hammered on this last night. But you've got minimal personnel. You've got devastating injuries. You're trying to compete at the highest level. Somebody in headsets has to be making better decisions.
Absolutely. And that's what we've been saying. And okay, it takes you a little while as a football team to kind of understand who you are, what you can become. Certain teams, they'll be able to throw it around. You know, John Madden, God bless him, he was really smart. He said, hey, we didn't have any really good receivers, so we ran the ball. And then when we got Branch and these other guys that were speedsters, and then we decided to throw the ball. We do what we can do best. And when you don't have a quarterback that you can hang your hat on and say, hey, this guy can get us down to the red zone and score and this and that, what have we seen this offense really do? Well, we've seen them commit to the run on a couple of occasions, and it's worked, and yet we refuse to come out and act like we know how to put together an NFL game plan.
Alshon Jeffrey, it seemed like early in the game, Hoyer was targeting him on pretty much every play, and yet he ends up with three catches for 33 yards. I'm not sure he even caught one, Hamp, once Barkley came into the game. It was, and that's a tough situation, I'm sure, for Barkley to come into. But, I mean, you're right. You lose your quarterback. You have Jordan Howard, who has certainly, I think, been impressive at times the last two games, maybe not. But what happened to that? I mean, what is that just a function of not having an effective quarterback?
And really, it all works together. It's a puzzle. And when your running game's going, then guess what? The play action, the boots, the intermediate passing game becomes a lot easier because those linebackers are worried about the run. So they come to the line of scrimmage. They'll take the, you know, initial step forward, and that gives you space. But the mystery about Howard, and it, to me, I'll just give you my opinion. Hey, as well as he did statistically in those games where he went like 116 yards 2 weeks in a row, there were spots and instances where if he would have been able to keep his head up and maybe have better vision, he could have broken for more. And there was a lot left on the table. And maybe they are trying to prod him by now bringing Kadeem Carey in, because Carey is a much more visual runner. He's much better you know, taking that jump cut and going back the other way. And the other thing is, Howard is more powerful, probably, but Kadeem Carey's got a little bit more juice. He's a little bit quicker, especially in the hole. And the Packers, their defense is one of those, you know, they're not giant guys, but they're real active guys. So maybe the last couple of weeks they're thinking the matchup is better with Kadeem Carey. But either way, whoever you got, give it to him more. I think Kadeem got it 10 or 11 times, mm-hmm. and Howard 6 or 7. We need to run twice that many times, especially when you start your backup quarterback, you get his arm broke, now you're really in trouble with your third-string quarterback. So, yeah, like I said, there's – and the game was, you know, we actually took the lead in the third quarter. So it wasn't like this was a, you know, opening kick blowout. We were in it, but we just don't seem to be able to make enough good decisions to keep our team involved in the game once we get into the third and fourth quarter.
You know, it seemed to me like Green Bay was trying to figure out some of their own problems. I mean, their running backs have been decimated by injuries, and so they had a couple of times where they ball deep, they kick a field goal, and then the next time they go for it deep in Bears territory and get stopped on fourth down. But I want to talk about the defense because Leonard Floyd had two sacks last night. We've been waiting to see some kind of a pass rush from somebody other than Willie Young. And last night, Floyd gave it to them and also gave them their only touchdown of the game.
Absolutely. And let me just say this. Leonard Floyd, yes, he's been a disappointment to me and to a lot of people thus far because of not so much, you know, his on-field productivity, but the fact is you can't learn if you're on the sideline watching. You got to get out there. So finally, you know, with this, with a calf strain, which is, in my world, that's a hangnail, and he missed three games, so he's back, which is good. We're glad. But both of those sacks came on line stunts. Now, those are very effective. I'm glad to see they're doing it. Both times, the first one, he was, as a defensive end, he knifed down inside, kept his feet going, actually got knocked to the ground, was athletic enough to jump up and get back on Aaron Rodgers and get him to the ground. The second one, Willie Young did an amazing job of collapsing the offensive tackle back into the lap of Aaron Rodgers, and Leonard Floyd kind of looped around and came around and stripped the quarterback, got the ball, scored a touchdown, as you said. It was a great thing. But let me tell you who really, really was impressive, and that is the three young defensive backs, mm-hmm. Ron LeBlanc, Jacoby Glenn, and this kid Bosby. Everybody else, you know, Tracy Porter has not had his best year. But we needed some of these other young DBs to step up, especially when you're playing in Lambeau. And they did. And that I'm telling you that Crevon LeBlanc, if you go back the first two times the Packers got down in the red zone, he was the guy that made the plays that stopped the touchdown, both the run and the pass over the middle to Cobb. So this kid, he's come a long ways. He's a bright spot. But like from the top of the what we were talking about earlier, Mike McCarthy, he's a smart guy.
Yep.
He's won a lot of games. He won a Super Bowl. He knows what you have to do, and he knew if he kept hammering, throwing the ball, Aaron Rodgers threw it 56 times. That's a long, long night for DBs to cover, for defensive linemen to rush the passer. They knew what they were doing, and finally they kind of wore us down in the third and fourth quarter.
There was a point where Aaron Rodgers set a franchise completion record with 37, I believe, last night, had more offensive plays than the Bears. I think the Bears ended up with maybe 39 plays, and Rodgers had almost that many completions, or there's a difference.
He had 39 completions, franchise record.
And the Bears had something less, like 37, 38 plays or something?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the Bears.
If you look at the possession chart, the Packers held the ball 40 minutes in that 60-minute game. We had it the 20. But, you know, when you look at the drive sheet, the Bears go punt, 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 field goal when Barkley first came in, and then end of half. Then it was punt, punt, interception, interception. That is not a resume you want to circulate around the league very much.
No, that's not going to get you anything. The good news, Hamp, we're only 2 weeks from the bye. Next week, it's the Vikings. Preview it on Monday. Have a great weekend, buddy.
All right. Thank you.
See ya.
Stan Hampton.
He didn't sound happy.
Shit, well, he shouldn't be happy. No. Stan Hampton. Calf strain's a hangnail.
Well, he should be happy that he's Dan Hampton.
Well, no, he should be. Yes, he should. He should be happy that he's Dan Hampton. Looks great, too, by the way. Have you seen Hamp lately?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He can go out and play right now, and I suggest he does it. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Dean Richards. Live in Los Angeles, and Maz Jobroni from Los Angeles live in the studio. Show business is wacky. Good morning, Maz.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
I'm a fan, you know that.
Yeah, man.
And Dean is at your house.
Dean, tell my wife I say hi.
Yeah, thank you for letting me stay. Very, very comfortable bed.
All right, bro, no problem, man. You just pay that mortgage, you're good.
I'll play a clip of Maz here, Dean, because anytime anybody does a talk show, they have to bring a clip. As you know, it's a federal law. And this is actually a clip we selected especially for you, Dean. So if you've, because you're in L.A. So enjoy this through the speaker on your phone. Stand by. Here's a little bit of Maz.
Even the Trump supporters, it's all fear. Nobody thought, when Trump first started running, everybody thought it was a joke. Everybody was like, ha, 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 ha. Now everyone was like, ha, 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 ha. He's like, make America great again. Make America great again. Gonna be number one. Gonna be number one. Gonna be rich. Gonna be rich. How are we gonna do it? I have no idea. I'll figure it out. The number one saying I heard Trump supporters say, I love him because he says what's on his mind. He just says what's on his mind. He just says what's on his mind. You go, what are your thoughts on his policies? I don't know if he's got any policies. He just says what's on his mind. This saying became so prominent, my own mother, Iranian lady, she started, I went to visit, she fell for it. I went to visit her, she goes, Maz, I like this guy because he says what's on his mind. I go, Mom, are you crazy? He's anti-immigrant, okay? I go, if he became president, your relatives couldn't come to visit you. She goes, I don't like them anyway. He say what's on his mind, so I don't have to say what's on my mind.
It's Maz Jobroni, and you know, it's the type of thing, Maz, that I think is going to keep you off the ticket with Trump. I don't see you running with him.
Yeah.
If Mike Pence drops out, Dean, you tell me. I don't see Maz getting on the ticket.
That doesn't seem like that's going to be a winning combination at all.
That would confuse his base. You know, that's mixed messages, right?
Maz will be at the Improv all weekend, 2 tonight, 2 tomorrow night. I think 8 and 10:30 tonight?
Yeah, 8 and 10:30. I just show up. I just show up. They go, you're on. I go on. I'm not even looking at the clock.
Yeah, right, because it's all about the art. the beautiful Chicago Improv tonight, 8 and 10:30, and 7 and 9:30 tomorrow night. And the great thing is, obviously, that there's plenty of great shopping.
Plenty of great shopping,
yeah.
Schaumburg. I again, it's like as you say. I get in the car. They take me. I get on stage. I do the jokes, and I hope I don't do the Spinal Tap. You know how? Where were they? They were in another city, and they go, "Good night, Cleveland."
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Detroit.
Thank you, Detroit.
Yeah. That's not a great way to warm yourself to the crowd. Maz has a special challenge, Dean, and you're right in the heart of the lunacy that is Los Angeles. As you know, if you have a particular look or a background, you're going to be given a certain number of scripts that say, oh, only one thing.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you get terrorist friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that type of thing?
Yeah, can you say Allahu Akbar? I could. Now say it again. Allahu Akbar! Yeah.
How many times do a casting agent or your own agent, do you have to go, you know, I've lived here since I was six?
Yeah, I had that conversation early with them because what happened was they got me in a Chuck Norris movie of the week. Guess what role I played in
bad
that.
Guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chuck was like the Trump of the times. And I it was actually kind of interesting because I was playing this Afghan terrorist who was going to blow up a building in America.
Of course you were.
Yeah, before September 11th.
Sure.
And I thought, this is how dumb I was. I had a day job at the time. I go, I'm going to take this gig because I'm going to show through my acting why this guy's doing what he's doing. Yeah, exactly. So stupid. I went to the wardrobe fitting and they go, and this guy was Afghan in America. They go, here's your shirt, here's your pants, here's your turban. And I was like, oh, you know, Afghans in America don't wear turbans. I go, Indian Sikhs wear turbans. Right. And they were like, dude, this is a Chuck Norris movie. What are you talking about? Put on the turban and don't forget your basket and your snake. Get the hell out of here. Just mixed it all up together.
Nobody's in quality control with Chuck's fans, right?
No, nobody cares. They just want to know who the bad guy is. That's it.
But how do you beat that? How do you beat that back?
So what happened was then I came back and I went to my agents. I go, listen, guys, as much as I enjoyed playing a terrorist in a Chuck Norris movie, I go, can we stop doing these? And they go, sure. And then I'm not kidding you, like maybe a year later, the TV show 24 called.
Right.
And they go, it's a terrorist part. I go, no, thank you. And then they go, but he changes his mind halfway through the mission. And I was like, ooh, the ambivalent terrorist. I go, now we're talking. Nuanced terrorist.
So, you're looking for a terrorist that can't commit. I'm your guy.
I'm your guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I took that one, and that was the last time I did it. After that, I said, I don't want to do any more of these terrorist parts. So, I mean, in all honesty, I've played like cab drivers. I've played falafel shop owners.
Sure.
I don't mind those. But
there's Dean, you could speak to this. There's a laziness in Hollywood. And part of it's a time commitment thing. But there's a general laziness in Hollywood. There could be people that go out, see your act. They love you. They get it. You talk about your family. You talk about your kids. You're an American. But then they'll bring into a casting agency or they'll bring in for an audition and they're sitting at the table and you're terrorist number two.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a laziness, but I also think that it's a matter of who's producing the projects, right? I mean, if you had more people from Middle Eastern backgrounds doing projects, they may think of it more as you are.
Right.
Whereas the guy who's sitting there in his office writing a script and he's like, and then the Iranian guy walks in. They're like,
right.
Well, what do Iranians say? And then Google Iran and they're like, oh, nuclear program,
right.
Turban. And death to America. Great. Those would be the lines, you know?
Yeah. Well, at least it's easy to remember.
Yeah, exactly. It is easy to remember.
Didn't I drive you a little nuts, Dean?
I think what's missing is you need to find the Middle Eastern Tyler Perry and start developing, you know, like new projects and, you know, new kind of opportunities.
Well, you know, actually, it's funny you say that. I actually did a movie. It's called Jimmy Vestwood,
yeah.
American Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
I describe it as the Persian Pink Panther meets Borat. It's a silly slapstick comedy, and I co-wrote it, co-produced, and I star in it. So, and it's a story of a Middle Eastern guy, an Iranian guy who wins the green card lottery, and he comes to America. He wants to be a cop because he's a big fan of Steve McQueen's from when he was a kid. He wants to be an American hero, but the best job he can get is working as a security guard at a Persian grocery store.
Sure.
And then somehow he ends up embroiled in this plot to start World War III. And he's got to save the day. And the tagline is, heroes aren't born, they're imported. and that's my attempt. I'm trying to be the Tyler Perry of Iran.
You are the Tyler. You are. Just remember, when you get super big and, you know, big media mogul, you got to make sure you put your name in every movie title that you do.
You mean like Maz Jobrani's Basket of Snakes?
Exactly.
You got it. Absolutely.
How about Maz Jobrani's Basket of Snakes on a plane? And it's just a lot of cursing, but it's all in Farsi.
It's all in Farsi with subtitles.
Listen, I'm a fan. I really am. And trust me when I say this, because the comparison is only for people to make a tie. Yakov Smirnoff comes to this country, and he does the Yakov act, and he's a Branson. He's a sweet man. He's a very nice man. But he plays the cliche completely. What I love about what you do is you embrace what people think, but then you mock what it means for your life.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a tightrope to walk. It's not
thanks.
Easy.
Well, part of that is just like you said, I was born in Iran, but I came here since I was 6 years old. So this is just who I am. So it would have been hard for me to be. We were talking about Yakov the other day. He's great. That line he used to have, you know, is like, you know, in America, you find party. In Russia, party finds you.
Right.
But I mean,
What a country.
But I honestly, it's like, I mean, I've been back to Iran once in the past, since I came back, since I moved out as a six-year-old. So,
right.
So you know, I'm American, and so I talk about what I know on stage. And like you said, I would love to end up having more of that in my screen presence.
Sure.
I actually there's a TV pilot that got picked up for CBS. It's called Superior Donuts, which is based on a play by Tracy Letts.
Okay.
And I play, they have me playing an Iraqi real estate mogul. Or not mogul, real estate guy who's trying to buy the properties in a bad neighborhood. So at least that's a step forward.
It's absolutely a step forward.
You know, so I'm trying to have that translate a little bit more. And like you said, I would love to, because most of the people I know that are of Middle Eastern descent are good people trying to do good things.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Everybody wants the same thing.
Everybody wants the same thing.
You just want your kids to do great. You want to be happy.
That's it.
And in your case, you want to continue the scam where you're working 1 hour a night.
1 hour. Dude, best scam in the world. You don't even know. I get on this text string with a friend of mine. I got friends. One of them's a cardiothoracic surgeon.
Yeah.
The other one, they're like doctors and lawyers. Like afternoon texting wars. And they're like, dude, stop texting me. I'm in the OR.
Surgery.
I'm like, bro, I got all day.
I got nothing to do. The gap, I've already been there.
I'm telling you.
It's great to see you. Kids are good?
Kids are great. They're just growing up fast and 8 and 5. I was saying that when there's an election, you realize how little you know when the kids ask you about it. Like during the primaries, they were like, what's a caucus? I looked at them. I'm like, ah. And I was like, well, it comes from Caucasian, so it must be when white people vote.
Go, well, you know what? You're not far from that.
Yeah, it's true. In Iowa, right?
Yeah.
It's
tomorrow night, Dean, or tonight, I should say. Tonight and tomorrow night at the Improv, 7 and 9:30 tonight, 8 and 10:30 tonight, 7 and 9:30 Saturday night at Woodfield Mall at the Improv, which is great. And I don't know the website here. Look, just, you know, you Google Improv, you Google Muzz. You Google Steve Cochran.
I think it's Chicago Improv, maybe.
ChicagoImprov.com.
Isn't that what it is? Try that.
Dean, just so you know, when Moss came in, we did pat him down. We just can't be too careful. It's the Tribune Tower. You understand, Dean?
It's the Donald Trump influence. Can't be too careful.
That's right. We're close to the Trump Tower.
I was wondering what those guys were wearing TSA outfits in at a radio
exactly
station.
Right.
Weird.
Right. Why do I have to take out my keys?
Yeah.
I have some great shows this week.
Steve just pats down the guests for fun. It has absolutely nothing to do with security, by the way.
You know, it's Friday. Why not?
It felt good.
More with Dean in a second and Maz Jobrani all weekend at the Chicago Improv. Have fun, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
More in a moment on 720 WGN.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9.
Very early in Los Angeles. Dean usually at this hour is in his SpongeBob SquarePants, footy pajamas, dreaming about clowns.
And that's when I'm already at work.
Well, I was speaking more of the weekends, but you know. It's six.
I have the TV on in the background here in Los Angeles, and what it says along the bottom of the screen, Dodgers face elimination.
That seems right.
They're not taking it well out here.
No, Tommy Lasorda is outside your hotel. He just wants to punch anybody from Chicago.
I went to a movie last night. I saw a few innings of the game here last night, and so interesting to me that, you know, I'm watching Dodger Stadium from here, empty seats everywhere. In the beginning of the game, it's not like people left, you know, later in the game, empty seats everywhere. People just are not that interested. But I went to a movie last night. I had my Cubs hat on just because I really just sort of wanted to taunt people. And a couple of people, friendly Los Angeles people, see my hat and go, "Hey, Cubs suck." That's not the friendly greeting they want to hear from somebody.
Well, especially not when you're losing Game 5.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah, the thing with Dodger Stadium has always been get there late, leave early. And, you know, Kevin joked about this yesterday at Rose Show, but it's true. You get in the second inning, you're maybe there till the 6th or the 7th, and then you leave to beat traffic.
Right. Yeah, but you stay long enough just to watch Larry King eat his ice cream, and then you go.
All right, so Cubs doing fine. Why are you in L.A.?
Doing some interviews. I'll interview your pal, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Today. He's in a new movie called Doctor Strange that I saw last night and was pretty interesting.
That's not a review, is it?
No. No, if you hear me say it's pretty interesting, that's kind of a tepid review, actually. We'll also interview Justin Timberlake when we're out here. He's a voice in a new movie. And, Steve, are you ready for this?
I don't know.
Sunday, I'm going to be doing my Sunday radio show from out here. But then right after that, I will be interviewing Andrew Garfield, who is the star of a new movie directed by Mel Gibson. And we'll be interviewing them both.
Oh, no. What time?
My first reuniting with the G-Dog.
Are you going to say anything about the incident? I don't know if I would or not.
I've been thinking about it. I think I have to see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, if it goes south, I mean, even a skosh south, I think you bring it up and you do it again, except this time you curse at him.
Yeah. Even that, I mean, I didn't do anything. He was the one that did to me, but good. I was wondering, do I even bring it up? So I don't know. I do know this, that I am going to wear a full catcher's mask just in case it does go south.
That seems like a good choice, a fine choice.
I called John McDonough over at the Blackhawks and asked if I could borrow,
Oh, you want a goalie mask?
Yeah. Well, you know, full goalie gear.
Yeah.
I knew I need to drop to the ground anything.
Oh, it's going to be fine. But, the cursing begin.
Monday morning, I'm going to do that Sunday afternoon. So Monday morning, you'll get the full scoop on what happened with me and my best friend.
I understand you have an announcement from CLTV this morning.
Oh yeah, we got an email this morning from Jennifer Lyons, our news director, that said that they're going to be expanding the coverage of a simulcast. Because right now, I guess on Sunday afternoon, we're simulcasting on CLTV, Camp OB and Cause.
That's right.
Beginning, I hope this isn't news to you, that this isn't the first time you're hearing this, but beginning the week of November 27th, we'll begin simulcasting 1 hour of the Steve Cochran Show.
What?
10 a.m. Yeah.
Why wasn't I told? Oh, yeah. We've had discussions for several months, and it's going to be fun. And the 9 o'clock hour every day and Rose 3 o'clock hour.
And Rose 3 o'clock hour every day, exactly right.
Could be a Broadway play. We may shut it down in a week.
Oh,
but
do we have to get dressed up now?
No.
Oh, good.
No. But you will have to pay attention to the show, and I know that's difficult.
Oh, boy.
All right, one quick movie recommendation or review for the weekend.
The new Tom Cruise movie is out this weekend. I'm if you're a Tom Cruise fan, I'm recommending it. It's Tom Cruise like this Jack Reacher movie, Jack Reacher 2. It just never reaches anything that you expect from a Tom Cruise movie. The story is okay, about an ex-military operative who is helping to fight somebody he barely knows. It doesn't make any sense, but the action that you get from a Tom Cruise movie, the storyline, the sense of humor, it's all Tom Cruise light. I wound up giving it a Dean's List C-. So passing on that. And Steve, I'm sorry to say that they did not review the new Madea movie, Boo, a Madea Halloween, for the critics. So I'm afraid you're going to have to be on your own with that one.
Well, I do like your idea of Maz Jobrani's name on everything.
Yeah, Maz Jobrani presents
right.
Falafel a Go-Go.
And a Falafel a Go-Go to you. Do not miss Sunday Morning with Dean and his old pal Mel Gibson. Oh, boy. Good luck, buddy. 8:35. Big story in a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Campbell with a lead pass. Anisimov over the flyer line to Hulsa down the right wing. Moves in back and he scores! Number 500 in the great career of Marian Hulsa. It's a power play goal. Haas beat him with a backhand. Hulsa hits for number 500. The Hawks lead 4-0.
And Marian Hulsa acknowledges the crowd here that is giving him a well-deserved standing ovation.
Hulsa skates out over the center ice circle all alone with the spotlight on him and raises his stick to salute this partisan crowd, the greatest fans in hockey, 21,263.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. 8:45, sponsored by Chicago's own Nuveen. Looking forward to regular conversations with my friend Troy Murray. Hello, buddy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good morning. You know, I want to know, how does John count that quick? 21,261.
He's very, you know, he's not just handsome. He's also very bright. How you doing, Bell?
I'm good. That was a real special night to to see Marian Hossa score his 500th goal. That was pretty incredible.
Well, for a guy like you, let's say you, who played at the highest level with exceptional skill and talent, how big a deal is 500 goals?
44 guys in the history of the NHL have done it.
How about
that's
that?
That's why it's so special. It's pretty incredible. You know what? And the thing about Marian, we actually, John and I were doing the call when the last guy who played for the Blackhawks did it, and it was at the United Center with Peter Bondra. But he had just kind of come into the fold, and he was at the tail end of his career, ended up getting number 500, which was great. We have, you know, we all respected him and all that kind of stuff. But to kind of see what Marian Hossa has done for this franchise, three Stanley Cups, a big part of, you know, the culture that's inside that locker room. And I've said this before, I don't think there's a guy who's ever met Marian, played against him, or played with him that could say a bad word about him.
I would agree with you. Your phone dropped out there a second, but I would totally agree with you, knowing him a little bit, and people don't know about it, and Hossa's not the guy that would want us to talk about it, but the charity work he does is amazing as well.
Hey, you know what? He seriously is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And a couple of years ago during the lockout, I had a chance. I actually was skating with him when the rest of the team wasn't there, and he wasn't medically cleared to play, but he needed to get out there and skate and see what was going on. And I was out with him for several days in a row, and just the nicest guy in the world. Didn't have to, but anybody who was at the rink, he brought him breakfast sandwiches, muffins, donuts,
sure,
you know, everything in the morning. You know, Marian Hossa doesn't have to do that, but he does. He takes time to be a good person.
And yeah, we should aspire to be him.
Yeah. I wish I had his 500 goals and his money.
I was going to say, you wish you had his character.
Oh, that too. Because mine lacks a little bit sometimes.
Forgot about that part. I want to do a quick break for traffic here and then come back. And I want to talk to you about where this team is. A lot of offense, not a lot of defense. And are you concerned about that? Hold on for that. More with Troy Murray, brought to you by Chicago's own Nuveen. Mary's here with your traffic in the Wintrust Community Bank Hour. .853, first couple of games of the season, there was no offense. Last couple of games, there was nothing but offense. But a scarcity of defense. Troy Murray rejoins us. One of the finest ever slapped the skates on, and does a great job along with John Weideman and the best radio team in the NHL, and it's not close either. All right, buddy. Concerned about the defense, or is it early?
You know, it's not really the defense that's itself that's concerning. It's the way that they're playing defense.
Okay, but I mean that's an important distinction. But explain why.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the defense is deeper with the guys that they have than they have been in the past. I mean, you know, they've making some tough decisions. Brian Campbell sounds like he's not going to play tonight. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who was a mainstay last year, 82 games, he's going to get in there. You've got this young kid, Gustav Forsling, who's played really, really well. And it's been a tough decision for the Blackhawks to figure out whether they want to keep him for the entire year. He made training camp, or made it out of training camp. He's been really good. Michael Kempney, the Czech defenseman, he's 26 years of age, first time over here in North America in the NHL. He's been really good. It's just the way that I think the inexperience as a group collectively have played, and there's inexperience in the system. They're trying to work on it. You know, they were up 4-0, and I think what happened last game, and, you know, as a former player, I kind of understood what was going on. You're all excited for the game. You're up 4-0. You're playing great. Marian Hossa scores his 500th goal, and you kind of lose your focus, and they couldn't get it back. And Philadelphia, give them credit, they just kind of kept steamrolling and worked their way back into the game. But all of a sudden, the game's tied. You get the big shifts from a couple of the big players, and you turn everything around. But you're going to deal with some inexperience and some troubles in your own end of the ice as you go through these growing pains with the young guys sprinkled into the offense, and that's because they're a big part of. The forwards are still a big part of what happens in a defensive zone, and you make mistakes in the neutral zone. You make mistakes in your structure coming out of the other team's end. So there's a lot of factors that are going in. The defense itself, I think, is great. The structure and how they need to play needs to be shored up.
Troy, what about the penalty kill? Because special teams have been a mixed bag. Power play has been pretty good, but they've allowed a league-high 9 power play goals so far.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know what what to say on that. They're working on it. It's not like they're doing a whole lot different than they were last year. Everybody basically has the same penalty kill. There's some movement that has been a little bit out of kilter. They've worked on it extremely hard to try and shore it up. You know, a lot of times when you look at it, you'll go through some streaks where, you know, pucks are going to be shot from the point and there's always traffic in front of the net. Some of those times it's going to hit the post, it's going to hit Corey Crawford, the defense is going to block it, and other times you're going to go through a stretch where it's just going to find its way into the back of the net. There is some issues. There is some structural issues that need to be cleared up, and there's a lot of things that they can do to kind of help themselves out rather than shooting themselves in the foot when they have the puck. Get it down the ice right away. Start winning some face-offs in your own end of the ice. Smart decisions quickly. Get in those shooting lanes and be prepared to block the shot, which Marion did last game, and he's unfortunately not going to be playing in the game tonight, but he knew that that was a big penalty kill, and he sacrificed himself to do it. So there's concern there because first and foremost, you're taking too many penalties, and a lot of that is because for the Blackhawks, over the years, we've become so accustomed to the way that they play that they always have the puck. This year, it's been a little bit different because of, you know, there's a depth problem that they're trying to figure out with some of these young players with inexperience as far as on the depth side of it. So they're chasing the play a little more. They take hooking penalties, interference penalties a little bit more because they're trying to get the puck back. So there's a lot of factors when you look into it, but obviously it's got to get better.
My feeling is we are going to love the chemistry of this team in about a month. But it's gonna take a couple of weeks. It may take 3 or 4 weeks of bumps in the road before we get there.
They've made mistakes, but as long as you're getting the energy and those mistakes aren't repetitive, everybody's going to make a mistake once, and if you do it again, then you're going to be in trouble. After the first mistake, they're going to tell you this is what you should have done, this is where you should have been. If those problems continue, that's when you have to look and see, well, is this guy smart enough to figure out the system, what's going on? But you're going to have some growing pains with some of these young players sprinkled in, and it's just the way it is with the salary cap era that's involved with the Blackhawks right now. You've got to insert some of these younger players, and when you do that, you got four guys up front under 22 years of age. There's going to be some mistakes, and there's going to be some growing pains. So I agree with you. Let's assess this team maybe at Christmas time, figure out where it is, and if these young kids are ready to make that step.
Columbus tonight, and who's tomorrow night? Is it Calgary?
Toronto here.
Toronto.
That's right. Calgary Toronto Monday. Tomorrow night and Calgary Monday.
Yeah. It's going to be a good weekend, another 3 and 4 nights. So they got to make sure that they try and rest up. You know, maybe Brian Campbell, who's 37, going on 38, don't play him in the back-to-back scenarios. He'll be back in against Toronto tomorrow, fresh and ready to
go.
Makes
sense.
Trevor Van Reem's actually a really good defenseman, and unfortunately, because the numbers that the Blackhawks have now on the depth side on the defenseman, you know, he's been a healthy scratch for the first four games. And I know Joel Quenneville doesn't like guys sitting out for a long time, so this was just an opportunity, for any other reason other than to get Trevor Van Reem's some ice time.
3 games in 4 days, Troy. Don't forget to stretch. All right, buddy, we'll be in touch. He's sponsored by...
I don't want to be stretching because these old legs and muscles and stuff, if they start stretching now, things are just going to start snapping.
I'll let people spend the weekend trying to get that image out of their heads. Sponsored by Chicago's own new V. That's Troy Murray. Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WG.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Runner is going, and that's down into the corner. Fair ball. Fowler flying to third. To the plate. Rizzo 4 for his last 4. And the Cubs lead 1-0. High fly ball in the center. The shortstop Russell. A big one. 2-run shot. 3-1 Chicago in the 6th. Hard hit deep into right. Back at the rim. That's up against. 3 runs are going to score. Baez is going to hold at second. And the Cubs have blown it.
9:12. Steve Cochran Show continues. And the lovely and talented Mark Carman has joined us in studio. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Steve.
What time did you get off the air last night?
That was a 1:20. 1:20.
Why'd you wrap the show up at 1:20?
Well, I stayed one second with Patty.
Oh, I see.
She was having feelings. I felt I would stay around.
That's also the time home games on weekdays in the regular season often start at Wrigley Field.
Good point, Dave.
This is AM.
I understand.
120 AM.
What do you mean feelings? What does that mean?
Well, I think it was
upset?
Kind of
she
well, she was I think missing her dad, who she used to watch the games with.
Oh, and sure. Gotcha.
You know, I think that's actually a big part of the whole Cubs story right now, as far as
no question, right? Generations of Cubs yep. fans being able to share it together.
Yep, and that's the beauty of sports.
Doesn't it make you miss Santo?
It does. He's on the True Blue Playoff Plus Open, and you know we got the yes sir in there, and you feel it. He's the best, right?
Yeah, and as much as we all loved Ernie, and we certainly knew Ernie pretty well, we didn't know him like we knew Santo. No. And Ernie had a certain measure of control while he was watching a game. Like, you know, if there was a bad Cubs play, you'd be sitting with Ernie. Doggone it. That'd be about as upset as he would get. Ron would punch the person nearest to him. Mm-hmm. Remember when he broke Pat Hughes' jaw? Remember that? he just couldn't help himself. Nobody had more passion, and whatever part of heaven Ernie and Santo are in, they're guiding us. They're pulling the strings, baby. They're getting it done.
My favorite Santo story around that, and Dave, I know you know this one well, they lose the Brant Brown game in Milwaukee mm-hmm. in 98. Brant Brown.
Oh, no!
Santo apparently, I wasn't there, but I was at the game, but I wasn't in the manager's room.
Oh.
I guess Ronnie had his head down on the desk and was just done. And Riggleman was telling Ronnie, it's okay. We're
consoling him. Yeah.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. The manager of the Cubs was consoling Ron Santa.
That's amazing.
Yeah. True story. All right. So if you're the LA Dodgers, mm-hmm. obviously Clayton Kershaw in game 6 is a pretty good thing to throw out. However, it's not like the Cubs are putting out some guy they just found, you know, in single A ball. And then they followed up with Jake Arrieta if needed, and Arrieta's got to be angry because he lost 6-0.
You got to like your chances, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. If you're the Cubs, you're at yeah. home. You're sending the ERA leader in the National League, although if innings were not a consideration, that would be Kershaw. But I think you got to remind yourself that Clayton Kershaw before this year in the postseason was a 4.79 ERA guy with a record of 3-6. So,
and not a great playoff pitcher prior to the other night.
Right. So that's the I think that's the hope. You've seen him, and he might be getting fatigued, although that's been the story all playoff long, and we really haven't seen it yet. So perhaps. And you're just going to have to get a great pitch game and somehow, some way, scratch across a run or two, and that'll and go to the World Series.
Yeah, I don't think anybody expecting the Dodgers to come in here thinking it's over hasn't been paying attention, because that's a team, granted, they had game 4 at home in the division series with Washington, but they were facing elimination, and they won that elimination game, and then they came back and won game 5 in D.C., so they have already faced elimination in the playoffs and survived, and so I don't think they're going to be fazed by this.
No, and I mean, the way Dave Roberts has managed them, I mean, he's going to obviously be full of confidence that we can do this, and these guys are, I'm pretty sure they're professionals, they're Major League Baseball players, they're not going to roll over because they're down 3-2 and they have to play on the road. Cubs are
hey, well, I was going to ask both of you guys this. What happened to Yasiel Puig? Puig was the guy 2 years ago.
That's a good question.
He had discipline issues last year and a couple of injuries and seemed to fall off the table. He doesn't appear to have his head in it.
He got sent down to the minors this year for a while. And
but what happened?
He was almost traded. And you know, I think there was a feeling when he first burst onto the scene, he was a can't-miss superstar blossoming, right? But I think there's just been a case of whether he's kind of a head case or whatever it is. Lack of discipline, and sometimes guys need to mature a little bit.
I had somebody significant in the game tell me at one point, $100 talent, nickel brain.
Mm-hmm.
The overrunning, you know, running through signs, you know, and trying to make catches that he couldn't make, throwing to the wrong base, you know, basic baseball stuff.
Well, he had the moment, Dave, remind me here, with I forget which pitcher who he showed up, and then he said, I want you to be my friend. He had T-shirts printed.
It was Bumgarner, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Madison Bumgarner, yeah. Exactly, when they were dueling it out down the stretch.
Which I thought actually turned out to be kind of a cool thing.
It was, but he's riled up some guys. I think also, too, they just kind of figure out how to pitch him, which tends to happen with guys, and he didn't make the adjustments back, which is...
But if he's the 25th guy on your team... you know, with his talent, he can hurt you, obviously. Look, the Dodgers aren't going to go quietly. But are you with me still? Remember what I said earlier? They wrap it up tomorrow.
Well,
I say they beat Kershaw.
I think they do, too.
You said 8 or 9 games.
That was before, Dave. Dave, I have been driving this bandwagon since August 30th.
At least.
I am on board, and I am telling you right now, they wrap it up tomorrow night.
I think they will wrap it up tomorrow night. But, I mean, how could you be shocked if Kershaw wins tomorrow night and it goes to Game 7?
And then if anybody has my number and calls me, I'll say, just like I said Friday, they'll wrap it up Sunday night.
I just cannot imagine the level of anxiety in this city. If they don't wrap it up tomorrow night, we go to a Game 7 on Sunday. I mean,
well, think about the obviously most recent success is the incredible run the Blackhawks have had, mm-hmm. and we've been the beneficiaries of that. Thank you very much. But you know the tension around those games. You know whether it was Philadelphia or Boston. Who did we beat last time? The last cup in 15. Who did we beat in 15? We got so many cups, I can't even remember.
It's hard to.
But the fact of the matter is, you know what this city does when a championship happens.
Tampa Bay, Lightning, of course. Thank you.
Yeah.
But you know what? Remember the Detroit series in
13?
They're down 3-1.
Yeah, and we had nothing. The Maalox sales through the roof. Mm-hmm. Although we were walking around going, how could this happen? And then suddenly they beat the Red Wings and the show was on.
The Blackhawks though got to a point where when they were down 3-1, you felt like they were going to come back. I mean,
don't you sort of feel like this is the 2010 version of the Blackhawks in the way of talent and hype, and you're starting to believe in the team? And I do. So many times this year, you're more surprised the Cubs lost.
It feels different, 100%.
Down 3 runs, 4 runs. Look at the game. Down 4 runs, or they're tied and they need something to happen, and they get the grand slam. And if Montero is a hero, the baseball gods finally got to the Cubs.
They were down 3 runs in the ninth inning rather, to the San Francisco Giants, and scored 4 runs and won the series.
That's the equivalent of 2 goals in 17 seconds. Well, maybe not, but.
Same sort of feel.
Yeah, if you go back, you mentioned the 2010 team with the Blackhawks, Steve. Great comparison, because go back to 2009. They got to the Western Conference final against Detroit.
Yep.
They weren't quite ready.
Couldn't get over the hump.
In 2009.
Well, the hump is right there, and I believe we're going to out-hump it.
What? Is that a word?
I don't know what that means.
I think that's well said.
I don't, actually.
The old out-hump.
The out-hump the hump. Any concerns? Because you're captain negative. Any concerns from you, Mr. Pessimist? Mr. Glass half empty. I didn't even get a glass.
I'm turning into Captain Roller Coaster because now I just don't think there's anything that could possibly go wrong.
Wow. You know we're talking about the Cubs, right?
Well, okay. Let's see. Negatives. Kyle Hendricks, maybe, maybe not. I mean, that's the reality, right? And then...
But that's any pitcher any night.
Sure. But... Okay, for an NL ERA leader, I think you should maybe feel a little more confident than I do right now about Hendricks. I don't think he's going to have a bad night. I just don't know if he's going to be perfect, and you might have to be perfect to be Kershaw. The other thing is, please stop playing Jason Hayward. Just stop. It's enough. He's more loyal to Jason Hayward's defense than people are to their children. It's incredible to me.
And the ball never gets hit to him. You know?
Right. That's the other
thing.
So you can't change. You can't trade an 0-for-4 for no chances in the outfield.
Right. I mean, just enough. It's like he's not making the plays that Javi Baez is making. He's catching fly balls. I'm sorry. Albert Amora is a fine defender. You could put him out there. He'll run down fly balls. He might even make a sliding, ridiculous catch, too, which he made earlier in the playoffs.
Well, for all Cub fans, in a world of an amazing, dreamlike season, Hayward has been a disappointment. It's been a very weird thing.
They've gotten nothing from Hayward. Schwarber out for the year, right? And last year in the playoffs, Jorge Soler was incredible.
Yeah.
They've gotten nothing from all those guys, and yet they're on the verge of going.
Okay, but let's be honest. The other 22 guys, the other 22 guys have brought it. The other 5 or 10 that have rotated in or out have brought it in a big way.
That's going to be true on any team. But you're always going to have a few guys.
I think the Cubs have an exceptional run of luck with no, major injuries to 3 or 4 guys at a time.
That's all true. I guess my point is just this: they were counting on these guys. They were expecting big things.
Right.
They didn't get it, and they're still the best team in baseball.
That's Joe Madden.
Yeah. Well,
Joe Madden. By the way, one name: Joe Madden. you may have missed this because I think you were sleeping. But what time was it, Dave? 6 a.m. when the Cubs got back?
6 o'clock.
Six o'clock in the morning. Now this will give you a sense of how overblown the coverage will be. And maybe that's not even fair because you can't really overblow it if they get it done,
It's a pretty big story.
But having said that, they're up 3-2, and all of the affiliates in town had live coverage of the buses getting back to Wrigley at 6 a.m. With a 3-2 lead.
Ooh. Yeah, it's going to be bananas.
Yeah.
No doubt. Listen.
But let's not get ahead of ourselves. One game at a time. God willing and the creek don't rise, and other cliches. Tomorrow night, any of you guys will be on?
We will be on. I'm going to be out at the park tomorrow, so hopefully get to talk to some happy Cubs. That's and then I'll jump on with Adam and Andy, I believe, are doing the show.
Okay.
So.
All right. Nice to see you, Mark Kerman.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
The comedy stylings of Hillary Clinton, straight ahead on 720 WGN. Nine 27, Steve Cochran Show. I want to play some of Hillary Clinton's comedy stylings from last night. But to show you how a campaign should handle losing a presidential election, this was what George H.W. Bush, wrote to Bill Clinton in 1992. "Dear Bill, when I walked into this office just now, I felt the same sense of wonder and respect that I felt 4 years ago. I know you'll feel that too. I wish you great happiness here. I never felt the loneliness some presidents have described. There will be very tough times, made even more difficult by criticism you may not think is fair. I'm not a very good one to give advice, but just don't let the critics discourage you or push you off course. You will be our president when you read this note. I wish you well. I wish your family well. Your success is now our country's success. I'm rooting hard for you. Good luck, George." That's the way you handle transition of power. Last night, after a very ugly third debate, was the Al Smith annual Catholic Charities dinner in New York, a fancy pants white tie event, where if you follow Twitter or spend too much time online this morning, you'll notice that Maria Bartiromo's breasts are as big a news as the event itself. She wore a very low-cut gown and happened to be positioned directly over both speakers. Speakers not being the literal speakers, but the people speaking. So she's all over your Twitter. You consider yourself fairly warned. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton last night, well, she handled herself pretty well. She's pretty funny. Listen.
"It'll be awkward at the annual President's Day photo when all the former presidents gather at the White House, and not just with Bill. How is Barack going to get past the Muslim ban? I took a break from my rigorous nap schedule to be here. And as you've already heard, it's a treat for all of you, too, because usually I charge a lot for speeches like this."
There you go. Shot at Trump and then bring it around to take a shot at herself a little bit, including the basket of, well, you remember.
"Now, I've got to say, there are a lot of friendly faces here in this room, people that I've been privileged to know and to work with. I just want to put you all in a basket of adorables. And you look so good in your tuxes, or as I refer to them, formal pantsuits. And, you know, because this is a friendly dinner for such a great cause, Donald, if at any time you don't like what I'm saying, feel free to stand up and shout wrong while I'm talking. You know, come to think of it, it's amazing I'm up here after Donald. I didn't think he'd be okay with a peaceful transition of power."
She even got in a shot at Donald Trump's thoughts about women in one very famous New York woman.
"People look at the Statue of Liberty and they see a proud symbol of our history as a nation of immigrants, a beacon of hope for people around the world. Donald looks at the Statue of Liberty and sees a 4. Maybe a 5 if she loses the torch and tablet and changes her hair."
It's a great, great joke. I got to say, though, I really think the joke of the night was from Trump. The joke of the night was from Trump with his wife, Melania, sitting just feet away. Listen.
"Michelle Obama gives a speech, and everyone loves it. It's fantastic.
They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case. And I don't get it. I don't know why. And it wasn't her fault. Stand up, Melania. Come on. She took a lot of abuse. Oh, I'm in trouble when I go home tonight. She didn't know about that one.
It's last night's Al Smith dinner in New York for Catholic Charities, a night off of the campaign, at least a little bit.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands.
9:42. The Steve Cochran Show continues.
But you can tell right away.
Bill and Wendy at 10. All right, here's the deal on the CLTV situation. We have been in discussions with CLTV for, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 months?
Sounds
5 months? Didn't I bring this up to you last spring?
I think it's been probably...
probably last winter.
Yeah, probably about almost a year.
And then the former general manager of Channel 9, whose name you didn't know when he was your boss at Channel 9.
No, not that I didn't know him. I mean, not that I didn't know his name. I just didn't put his name with his face.
Do you remember his name now? Greg?
Yes. Greg Easterly.
Easterly.
Yes,
there you go.
I know
Greg Easterly. He moved down to New York. And Jimmy DeCastro and Larry Wirt and Todd Manley were all behind this idea that we could do more with CLTV than just do the news. So why not put the Steve Cochran Show on CLTV?
Great idea.
So I guess it was probably around, March, where we thought, well, you know what we'll do? We'll put the 8 to 10 o'clock block on. So the first half of the show we'll do from the Showcase studio. Second half of the show we'll go upstairs. We'll do it from the TV studio we have upstairs. Or the TV lit studio that we have upstairs.
So how are we going to get up there?
Well, this is an end of the story yet.
No.
Greg Easterly then, as I said, leaves for New York and things change. And it's not like Larry Wirt isn't busy. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And the thing gets tabled for a little bit. So then, I don't know, it's Monday or Tuesday. I walk by Todd Manley's office and Todd's smiling. He goes, hey, got some news. He goes, we got it done. So the bottom line is we figured out a way to do this. They basically, Hamp, don't tell Hamp this. Hamp and OB and Kaz were the guinea pigs to see if we could figure out a way to do this and have it look okay on TV and do the show. And it did. And it got, you know, popped a number right away. Who doesn't want to see those knuckleheads losing their mind after another Bears loss? So starting on November 27th, and we're very happy about this. I want to thank the people at Channel 9, CLTV. We will do the 9 o'clock hour, final hour of the program. And here's why. Because the new general manager at Channel 9, Paul.
Mr. Rennie.
Paul Rennie.
I call him seems like a great guy. Mr. Rennie.
By the way, he seems like a great guy.
He's a very nice man.
I mean, he may not be, but he seems like a great guy.
I know him. I mean, I've met him.
Yeah, and he's a fan of the show here and a fan of the station. He was a GM listener when he was in Indianapolis. But I believe Paul is a smart guy, and he wants to keep an eye on what's going on at CLTV. And he goes, well, I've met Cochran, and I don't want to turn over too much territory to him. He seems like a nut. I think that's probably what he said. Mm-hmm. So instead, we're going to do the 1 hour, and then Ro Khan's 3 o'clock hour with Anna will be on as well. So I think it's a good thing. So we'll start it out with an hour. We'll see if we like each other, and then we'll expand it from there. But there will be a couple of changes. Yes, we'll have to wear formal wear, as opposed to what we wear now each morning at 9. There'll be full makeup, you know, at 8:45, including, so, and I believe in the 9 o'clock hour, I'll have 3 wardrobe changes.
Okay, so you're going to go from what color shorts to what color shorts?
Yeah. And we won't see your shorts anyway, so you
just I'll show it.
It's going to be part of the show,
just
Mary.
Just put a tie on.
We're going to get something, you know, there'll be sponsorship opportunities all over. We're going to get Calf Cam. It's going to be a camera that just shoots my calves.
How about hats? How about now? You could do a whole hat thing.
Sure.
Because you wear hats.
Got plenty of them.
Advertisements. That's
product placement.
Yep.
So starting on November 27th, that's the Monday after Thanksgiving, the Steve Cochran Show from 9 to 10, the Rokan Show from 3 to 4, live on CLTV as well. I mean, we'll still be on the radio, but simulcast on CLTV. Did you think we weren't doing radio anymore? Did you think we were going off the air?
No, no. I thought
this is the number one talk show in town. Why would we go off the air, Dave?
But no, I'm just trying to picture how you, if you could like turn down. Well, you don't want to turn down the sound.
No, never. Not on this show.
This
no.
is gonna be fun. So I mean, we can get up and do crazy stuff now.
Yeah.
We could like do calisthenics.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. Things you can see that you wouldn't see normally. The studio is cold this morning. And we can't somehow manage to regulate the temperature in the studio. So the studio is cold this morning.
It's every morning.
Mary, who is a superior athlete, normally is on the seventh floor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with Andre off today, she came down to join us on this floor. So she's on this floor, but the studio is cold. So during break, she's been running laps around the control board.
Yeah.
It's cold. You gotta, you know, get the
looks like
a
mental
a
patient
bit.
Just running around
well,
the control.
Yeah, after you said
that's
that,
what
I sat
you'll
down.
Get on CLTV.
How about when Steve Dale brings a dog in?
You'll perfect. Be able to see that on
you'll
CLTV.
You'll be able to see the dog,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
When I have, my stylist come in and do my hair and nails and toenails, the mani-pedi that I have done, yeah, you'll be able to see that.
Ugh. And the masseuse.
Yes, the masseuse that comes in.
Yes.
What's his name? Serge? I don't know.
You need
Serge.
To wear more than a towel, though, for that. Well, if you're going to
yes,
be on
please.
TV.
Especially when you get
even in the
toenails
9 o'clock hour?
Done.
Nah, well, maybe not.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, it'll be fun. So we're happy about that, and you can read about it in Robert Feeder today as well. There's also a note in Robert Feeder's column about Pete McMurray. Now, Pete was in the other day, and I tried to explain to Pete, and I took Pete to breakfast after the show. Pete got fired from the Drive the other day. And by the way, nice move by the Drive and Hubbard. What are you thinking? Pete, top five, ratings going up, and they fire. I mean, you know, Pete's great. We love Pete.
We're big fans of Pete.
We love Pete. But when Pete left to go do the morning show at the Drive, I was not the only one who looked him in the eye and said, you got two choices here, man. This is let's make a deal. You stay, you do a great show here, you continue to have opportunities to grow, or you take the money over there. He took the money. Well, now it's, what, a year later, the dopes over there fired him, and his ratings are up. And he came back, and I love Pete. But what did I tell Pete? I'd tell him the same thing any big brother would tell him. I'd tell him, we got nothing. Who are we going to throw out? We throwing out you? You want to leave? We're not throwing you out.
How about this guy? Can we throw him out?
Kaz, we're not throwing Kaz out.
Kaz out. He's calling me.
But we love Pete. So I've offered Pete, Todd Manley brought this up, and I think it's a great idea, a chance to fill in on this show. But that's when I'm not here. Yeah, not while I'm here.
Right, so. Right.
But Pete, who is one of the best promoters I've ever seen of himself.
Yes.
Pete is in the feeder column today as well. So you can read about it a little
bit. So we get
Pete
the
McMurray
whole story.
Too. Right. But that's a pretty good bench to have Pete McMurray be your go-to sixth man, don't you think?
I'm a big fan of Pete. I think that's great.
That's awesome.
Right, then.
Does he wear shorts?
No, that's my gig.
He wears those weird
You know what
pants.
I got to do? I got to come up with a clothing line for 55-year-old dudes. Because, you know, I basically it's coaches wear. It's sideline coaches wear.
Okay, but
yeah.
The one comment that came up with Tim Allen yesterday that I take exception to, and you always bring this up, is backpacks.
Yeah, you're too old to wear a backpack.
I'm not too old to wear a backpack.
Yeah, yeah.
I wear a backpack. Am I too old?
No.
No.
Well, hold on. How old are you?
31?
No, you got to your 40.
Yes.
40 is a backpack cutoff.
So then you
so
wear
I can
what?
Still do it.
No, then no. You wear that mani-pack.
You look great.
Yeah.
You look fantastic. You are in great shape. Yes, you can still carry your shoulder bag or whatever that is.
Mani pack. Or your fanny pack.
You look great. But you're a 61-year-old man. You don't wear a backpack anymore.
Thank you for saying that.
Well, I mean, it's, you know.
Okay, I'm sorry I brought it up.
It cuts you open and counts your rings. It's a fact. So no backpack. A long time ago, I was told I can't wear a hat backwards anymore. I'm too old to do that.
What do you mean, yeah? Nice, Mary.
It's 9:50. We'll come back, meet some great people doing a great thing that you want to know about in just a second. Before we do that, let's take this break and Bill and Wendy at 10:02 on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Our guest got lost trying to find the studio, so we're going to have to do this fairly quickly, but I want to make sure you know about this. The Midwest Veterans Closet a very important organization, and I love this story because they're about to partner with the cookie people from Aunt Winnie's Kitchen. So let's start with Midwestern Veterans Closet. Carrie, tell me about it.
Well, it's the Midwest Veterans Closet where veterans come and shop free every day.
So you come in and shop for clothes that are donated?
Clothing, furniture, household items.
And Leslie, how long ago did you start all this? I'm sorry, actually, I'm jumping around. Mary, how long ago did you start all this?
Well, let me then just say that the Midwest Veterans Closet is where you can count on getting help if you're a veteran. And we began this about 2.5 years ago in a landscape trailer in Wadsworth, a very remote area. And we found that the donors were forthcoming, but the vets couldn't get there because it was too remote. And so we moved to our present location, which is about 3 blocks north of the Lovell, Captain James A. Lovell.
The VA.
VA.
Yeah, now here's the thing. It'd be great if you had more space, and maybe you could figure out a way to have more space.
A lot more space.
So why not bring in a partner? The previously mentioned Leslie from Aunt Winnie's Kitchen. Leslie, how do I pronounce your last name?
Havjan.
And get right into that microphone for me. Get close to it if you can. First off, your cookies are great.
Thank you very much.
All right. How did you get to know these ladies?
I found out that Mary was taking my cookie dough, buying it at Sunset Foods, and bringing them over to the VA on Wednesday nights to have the vets, the elderly vets, because their dexterity is hard. You know, it's
sure.
tough.
Yeah.
So it's easy for them to take the cookie dough and break it apart and put on a cookie sheet, and it's an activity that they can do.
Sure.
So I found out that she was buying them, and I thought, well, heck, you don't
she
have to scolded, buy them.
She scolded me for buying them.
Right.
So I started donating them, and we just got to talking and figured that this would be a tremendous partnership to put vets to work if we can get this building that Mary's trying to get.
All right, so Mary and Carrie are trying to get a building, and grab that microphone so it points at your mouth there a little bit. Thanks. And what's the status?
The status is not good at this time. It's good for the landlady because she's had people looking at the building. However, we're trying in earnest to...
Are we in negotiations? Is that what's happening?
No, we're not negotiating anything, but we'd like to be negotiating.
Okay, is there a buyer in front of you or no. something?
Well, there could be,
yes.
We
don't have a buyer yet.
We don't have a buyer yet.
Okay.
Or a donor.
Yeah,
or,
we need a donor.
Or the cash to buy the building.
Okay.
But we do have a fundraiser coming up, and we are raffling off a Chevy Camaro.
Wow. All right, well, let's start with the fundraiser. Where is it?
It's November 12th at the Antioch VFW. It's a boot scootin' boogie.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you'll be there.
Sure. And Dave, you want to go boot scootin' boogie with me?
I think I would, Steve.
Okay. And it'll be in Antioch at the VFW.
At the
from what time to what time?
From 5 to 9 on Saturday, November 12th.
Okay.
And
so you got a couple of weeks.
We have a couple of weeks. We're working really hard to sell the tickets for this Chevy Camaro. They're $100 each. We take donations at the door for entry. And we would like to continue the mission and also expand. Aunt Winnie will be our first business partner and our business incubator once we can move into the rest of the building. And she can put 15 to 20 vets to work almost immediately.
Yeah, so Leslie, you can help these vets out and
oh,
keep
yeah.
them busy. And
yeah,
absolutely. We're hoping so. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And good for you for stepping up.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. All right, so let's get some
awesome.
Contact info out before we introduce one other person here. If we want to get a hold of you guys for any other information about this, how do we get a hold of you?
Our phone number is 847-354-2108.
Or if there's a corporate donor or somebody that wants to step up and write a fat check today, that's okay with us.
Oh, definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
Our website is MidwestVeteransCloset.org.
And for Aunt Winnie's?
Aunt Winnie's, you can find me at all the Sunset Foods locations right now in the frozen section.
Yeah. How long have you been doing this?
I've been in Sunset now for about a year and a half, but it's just me. So in order for me to grow, I need help, but I can't have help unless I have a space. So it's kind of a catch-22 for me.
All right. And if anybody, I get a sense, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. This is just, I'm trying to help here, that you guys are not real estate developers.
We are not.
So for that reason, if someone listening has a hand in this with an interest in vets and somebody could help, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, a Hochberg, somebody that knows real estate, who also has a soft spot for vets and the sacrifice that vets have made,
absolutely.
Could maybe consult you guys on how to walk through some of this.
Absolutely. Or Abbott, AbbVie, Cardinal, Baxter, a lot of big corporations in our area doing great things.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Non-bouncing checks from anybody who want to step up and support vets. And I guess there's a free cookie in it for them when they step up.
You bet.
Well, thank you, ladies, for doing this. Let me say hi to a fine fighting man here. I can't see your face, sir. Tell me your name.
Hi, Sergeant George Gandara.
And Sergeant George, you are a member of which branch?
I served in the Marine Corps for 3 years in the 70s, and then I served in the Army National Guard in the United States Army from 1984 to 2004.
And thank you for your service. What are you doing these days?
My pleasure and honor. I beg your pardon, sir?
What are you doing these days? What do you do now?
Currently, I'm a veteran that's on disability, and I work for Homeland Security. I'm a police inspector.
And I'm sure you could you wouldn't mind helping out with the cookie ladies and what's going on at the closet as well, right?
No, sir. As a matter of fact, I was directed to the Veterans Closet from the VA. I had suffered death of my wife in 2013 and my mother in 2014. I was going down that spiral again.
Sure.
And I got inspired by Mary and her cause, and now I do what I can to assist in any way that I can.
Well, God bless. You just keep giving back, don't you? And thank you for that.
Doing the job, sir.
Thank you for that. Thank you for coming in. I know it's a little stressful last minute and everything, but you guys are all great.
Thank you.
I appreciate you doing it. Thank you.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you, sir.
All right. Any of that contact info, we'll put it up on the web, and you guys will be good to go. But thank you, and let's get you a building. Let's get you guys a new space. Let's get these vets to work, and let's do some good.
Thank you so much.
All right. 1001, Bill and Wendy next. 720 WGN.